A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. We have some great cues, or questions, if you want to say the whole word, and news. We have news, too, which is a nice short word, isn't it, Ken?
News, yes, not short for musical. I don't know, no, something like that. And what if our cues were just a collection of, James Bond's good buddies, providing him gear and equipment?
News and cues. Someday we'll do that. Just thoughts on the character Q.
A lot to get to today, but before we dive in, we want to remind you some of the business up top. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And Joseph, we're not done there.
No, we are not. We have another offer. Insight Editions, a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, are offering 35% off across their website with a special Four Center code. You can get a discount by entering the coupon code FC35, or you can visit their website with this specific link, insighteditions.com/discount/FC35. 35. This week, we're recommending the Insight Editions book, The Lightsaber Collection. Why? Because we really love that book. We advertised it last week, and I forgot to change it. But there are many, many great books offered by Insight Editions, and we will be recommending more. But we do love the Lightsaber Collection. So go check out those discounts on Insight Editions with the code FC35.
Love that. Love that. I noticed that. I was like, oh, good. Yeah, yeah. We really do. Oh, yeah. No. Sometimes, you know, you either copy and paste or you just carry over the next thing. And, you know, here we are talking about an old Force Center topic from 3 weeks ago. It happens.
It does happen.
As always, we love to catch up with each other, Joseph and I and Jennifer, when she's on the show. We're all pals, too. And, you know, we don't get to see each other a lot. No fire pits, no bar meetups, nothing yet. We're still holding steady. I bought brand new masks today. That's my life adventure. Two new additional masks for me. And I got to tell you something. I don't know if I'm ever stopping because I like having them on my face. I feel like I'm in a G.I. Joe adventure. A lot of things going on, Joseph. How are you? Star Wars and life adventures?
Yeah, it's a very good life adventures. I've been working on some writing projects, and that can always be an up and down roller coaster. And I had some ups this week of really being in a good headspace and writing stuff that I'm happy with. So that's always nice for my kind of personal adventure. Since last we recorded, there was an inauguration, which made me happy and hopeful. I also had a call with a friend, Ken Plume. He's a podcaster. He writes some kind of behind the scenes books for various things like Venture Brothers. And I don't know if it's public, the other one he's working on right now. But great guy. He's the person who initially brought me to Dragon Con. Is my contact there who does all the programming that I do at Dragon Con through him. So he's a great guy all around. So I had a catch up phone call with him. And we got into talking about action figures, Star Wars action figures, and trading which ones we're interested in and why. And since then, Ken has been tweeting and texting his new action figure purchases and saying, this is your responsibility. You did this. That's been my Star Wars adventure this week. And I keep promising him, like, all right, well, in penance, since you bought a new action figure after our conversation, I guess I have to go buy a retro Queel one of these days in penance.
There we go. I think one of those tweets emerged into my timeline with him blaming you for him getting a bunch of Mando figures. So that is perfect. we'll have to do I'll have to get him on for a special Star Wars ranked figures Joseph shamed me into getting.
That would be great. Figures I bought because of Joseph. I would love that. How about you? What were your life and or Star Wars adventures?
Yeah, it's been ups and downs too. Ain't that life? Huh? Ain't that a kick in the pants? Good things going on. Hard work over there launching the Good People Association. I keep making the joke, but it's true. I just feel like Lando. I've got supply problems. I'm trying to launch it's a production company. It's a digital brand. We're doing fun shows. Most of my week was spent tracking down a proof of insurance for the landlord.
The real exciting stuff.
Chase your dreams, kids. Start a business and get your COIs, your certificate of insurances, ready to go. So a lot of that. Good and bad. Battling some illness around the house. Nothing serious. Nothing related to COVID, but kind of made the weekend a little slower. We lost a friend this week who actually was a listener for Center also at times and a listener of a lot of my stuff going back to the early Schmoes days. And he became a friend to a lot of us cause he just was so present. His name's Graham Butler, big Star Wars fan. In fact, the two times I've met him in person, the two periods of time, we're both at Star Wars celebrations or Lab 2017. And, we had a quick exchange, but a beautiful, bittersweet, but beautiful final in-person connection in Chicago where I think I was on the floor. You and I would be, wonderful people coming up to us and asking us about Star Wars and Graham passed me and saw I was busy and he was heading somewhere and we just kind of looked at each other and smiled. And that would be, we were planning to meet up in celebrations 2020 and then that didn't happen. And we were looking forward to 2022. So long story short, he passed away unexpectedly, big Star Wars fan, big personality. Love to give everyone some loving, needling, shite, as it were, I'll say, the Scottish guy. Sad. Woke up to that news Sunday, and that was with me most of the day, because you never know, and life being short and all those kind of things, and it really hurt. And it's a testament to the power of this kind of modern world where we're all connected. Better or worse, we're all connected pretty fast. And so many people felt the loss of Graham, who had never actually met him, but he was such a presence in my Twitch streams or Mark Riley's Patreon or Schmodest, like all that kind of stuff. He was tied into it. So Graham, I miss you, buddy. And we'll do a shot somewhere down the road. So that was kind of my weekend, not to bring it down, Joseph, but kind of dominated the week, unfortunately.
No, I totally understand. I saw that news, and it was, didn't know Graham the way you did, but I certainly recognized his name from, tweets and his presence. And that is, as you say, it is a reminder that we are all connected in so many different ways, that I had a visceral reaction just to immediately, when I saw his name, saw his Twitter icon in my mind. And the sadness obviously is there, but there is also for me a little bit of that hope and in kindness in the memory that we're all connected, even though sometimes we feel far away, that somebody you only really know over social media can still be meaningful to you. Yeah. Obviously you had a much clearer interactions with him than I did, but
well said indeed. And we are all luminous beings, and it's great to take comfort from Star Wars. That stuff's so very real to me, when you just kind of can look at a something like Star Wars or a book, anything that means something to you, and just kind of pull comfort out of it. And that's why we keep coming back each week. So again, this one's for you, Graham. That was part of what my weekend was, and that's just the reality of life. The ups and downs, the light, the dark, the balance. We got to find our place in it. So there you go. There you go. All right. Transition.
Well said. Yes. Well said.
Transition. I just don't want to, I cried all on a Twitch stream for him yesterday, but I've been doing some crying on 4Center lately, and I have no problem crying. And I think out there, any of you listening should not be afraid to cry. But today I promised myself I wouldn't do it. All right, Joseph, we're going to get to the news here, but part of the news this weekend, without a doubt, was something that is so damn familiar, something that keeps popping up. We are going to address it here, and this is the Christina Arial situation going on, the new wonderful new host of the High Republic show over on the Star Wars YouTube channel, which I don't even believe has launched yet, right?
No, it hasn't yet.
Yeah. And everything that's going on there. So, Joseph, take it away. Let's dive into this the situation and where we as Force Center stand on it. We're going to be clear, and where to go from here.
Yeah. I think this situation is one of those things where we kind of feel on Force Center that to not say something is to say something, which is one of the reasons that we are taking the time to address it. I want to start with the positive, and then we will get into what must be addressed. If you're not familiar with Christina Arial, she has many mutual friends and connections to myself and Ken. She is a broadcaster and performer. The actual High Republic show is debuting on Wednesday. There's already been a call put out for questions, and I was looking through that and saw a bunch of great questions about the High Republic. So the actual show that she is hosting as a pro, that is happening on Wednesday. It's a great way to celebrate and engage with the High Republic. So I think everyone should just check that out on Wednesday. If you're curious a little bit about her, you can Google starting role plus her name, Christina Arial, and that's Arielle. I watched this show. It was just a little, it's like a fun gaming interview show, but it just really starts with a great interview with Christina about who she is and her history of pop culture fandom. It's just, I really enjoyed watching it because it let me get to know her a little bit because I didn't before this. She also has a thread on her own Twitter profile from August 22nd, 2020, which is sharing some of her favorite work of short films, gaming videos, etc. So I just kind of wanted to start a little bit from that Star Wars perspective of saving what we love, not just fighting what we hate, but saving what we love, and say Christina Ariel is clearly an awesome person, clearly a professional, clearly has a lot to add to the Star Wars community, and these are ways that you can look for those and support Christina. Then from there we can get into what happened this week. Do you have any thoughts to add to that, Ken, before we get into what actually happened?
No, other than I think that's really important to not, we don't want to, in any discussion, anything we're about to say here, we don't want to move away from her at all and what she's about to really bring to the Star Wars community. And yeah, it's so funny, there's so many mutual connections. If I've met her, I've met her in passing, but a lot of people we know, a lot of people are super, super close to me. Think the world of her, and it's like, we're so happy for her to get that show, and still are, by the way. So I think you're right to highlight what she does and what she is about to bring to the Star Wars community.
Yeah, exactly. So, the unfortunate, not great part of this. So she was targeted, by basically alt-right trolls, because she is a black woman involved with Star Wars. And that is my firm reading of the situation, because the people behind it have a pattern of doing this. Christina Ariel has tweets that are her perspective as a black woman discussing racism, which I feel very strongly is her right. She has experienced racism. It's her lived experience. She's speaking out. And those tweets are being used by, again, alt-right trolls to attack her. In response to that, she shared some of the just truly hateful, unmistakably, viscerally racist, hateful, awful things that were tweeted to her because these alt-right trolls on purpose targeted her for being a black woman involved with Star Wars. That's my opinion about what has happened. I also have some more information about who is actually behind this, so that you can see that it is not just about, you know, what did she tweet, what didn't she tweet, what's the opinion, but who did this and why. But I want to pause first, Ken, and have make sure that there's that you share what you want to share.
Yeah, no, 100%. This is clear, and this is you're saying to you off air of just like it's like. You just can almost know this was coming because that's how bad it is. Right. And you see, a person of color, woman of color, anyone quote, I'm putting quotes around different because I don't consider them different, but anyone that's doesn't fit, the white male profile, which I don't mind saying that at all. You just brace for impact. You brace for impact. And we're out here trying to maybe no longer brace for impact, to draw some lines in the sand. And then it starts happening, and it's too easy to get it really quickly convoluted by, well, you know, the way she tweeted it. No. This was coordinated. Like you said, this was intentional. This was done to cause harm. This was done to cost job, livelihood, whatever you want to say, by those groups you're talking about, the website. And I personally don't remember the first website that started. I don't. But yeah, so I'm with you on that. Four Center's very clear on where this lies. We love this big table of Star Wars, like we always talk about, and we're not going to stop building out that table and bringing more and more folks into our community here in the Force Center community, make them welcome. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's that part of me that doesn't want to, you know, give attention to the people who did it, but we need to recognize who it is, because it isn't like a groundswell of concern from, you know, many different places. It's targeted attacks from people who have a history of targeted attacks. The initial article is from a website called Bounding Into Comics. They have ties to ComicsGate, which is basically a group of websites and specific people who have a long, long history of this exact same targeted attack and harassment of women and people of color in comic books. And they have they've attacked many people that I have known, and it is the exact same thing. They grab some tweets that they think are going to be controversial. They spin them to sound the most inflammatory as possible, and then just kind of fling it out into the ether to try to start fights and try to go, what? We're just sharing their tweets. When what they're doing is they're spinning their tweets into conflict, and it's always conflict from the exact same perspective of denying women and people of color a space in pop culture. That is what the agenda is that is promoted by Bounding Into Comics and Comicsgate people. It jumped to this high level of relevancy because it was retweeted multiple times by a person on Twitter named Jack Posobiec. He is an alt-right internet troll. He is a correspondent for the propaganda network One America News Network. This person has promoted white supremacist talking points, absolutely debunked conspiracy theories, Pizzagate, false pipe bomb reports, all sorts of thing. He is a person who is not everybody, not everybody. This often becomes a both sides conversation. And to me, there's a difference between different perspectives on the tax reform. And then there's somebody like Jack Posobiec, who is he knowingly propagates lies in order to attack certain groups of people. That is who he is. That is his history. And that is somebody who targeted it. And this is part of why it's important for us to talk about it, is because as much as we would rather just jump right into news and cues, make some jokes and talk about Funko Pops, pop culture, you know, is a ground where people like this who want to cause the furthering of anger and hate and push people out that they don't like out of spaces. Pop culture is a place where they can do that. Somebody like Jack Posobiec, who spends most of his time supporting Trumpian lies and propaganda, knows that Star Wars is a great, great place to do this. It's so obvious. It almost made me laugh, Ken, when I researched Jack Posobiec, so I knew what I was talking about, got to the bottom of his Wikipedia page, and it says under personal life, from 2012 to 2016, Posobiec ran a blog and podcast about Game of Thrones called Angry GOT Fan.
That tracks.
Yep. There is a combination of anger about pop culture where people can, with racist and sexist views, can hide behind, it's just an opinion about pop culture. It's just, I don't like Disney Star Wars, which is fine. If you just truly, hey, I didn't think those movies were good. They didn't hit for me. I didn't enjoy those movies. That's fine. These people hide behind that to attack the fact that there are women and people of color involved.
And not the place that you and I want to fully dive into this conversation, because it moves it too far from Christina Ariel and the situation this weekend. But I feel the big danger is the shades of the degrees of separation from the center of this are your buddy, are your friends, are your coworkers who are like, I don't know about Star Wars. Oh, I saw this. Yeah, this article agrees with my take on it. And they're sometimes accidentally, sometimes very intentionally, but they're just feeding into this. And pop culture isn't this little thing in the 80s that the nerds did at the far lunch table. It's life. It's everything. It's what we take from it. It has become that. And so without a doubt, this is all tied into it. And this is all tied into this age of misinformation and lies. And later on, we'll talk about, there's a lot of experts in the rooms, right? In terms of they all know what Kathleen Kennedy did. Blah, 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 blah. Not the point today, but that's why I think it's important that you're highlighting this stuff, and we're highlighting this stuff, because it's tearing down everything brick by brick by brick, and you don't think it's all the same wall.
Yeah, exactly. And I think you and I have said this often on 4Center. You know, in general, we try to keep political things out of it. We don't, you know, pivot from, you know, Palpatine discussions to comparison to exact modern politics every episode, because we know that, you know, it can be nice to take a break, even if you have strong opinions. But again, there are some things that to not say something about them is to, you know, is to say something about them. And I think with this particular issue, I think it is really important to clarify that we are open to different opinions about movies, because that's an opinion. That's opinion. I'm not open to different facts, and I'm not open to racist attacks. To me, the point of having an open mind is hearing an idea that you haven't heard before, or questioning an idea you've long held. And there is nothing new in any of this. This is just old school hate, old school attempt to drive someone out of the fandom that you don't think should be there, dressed up in the new misinformation of the social media age. So I do have an open mind. I can't have an open mind to this because I know what it is and I reject it, period.
Flatly, we reject it flatly here, and the, you know, the 4Center community is a pretty damn good place. We've tried to make it that, and I believe that's why we're, you know, we'd speak out regardless. But it's important that you out there in the 4Center community understand where we're coming from, understand what we think of this, and either you help us build that or you don't, and that's end of the day. Bye. For me, not for Joseph. Yeah. For me, bye.
Well, no, I mean, I think there's so much discussion right now about how to, you know, get past strongly held, you know, views, for lack of a better term. And I always have empathy for people. I always, even if I viscerally disagree with you and cannot support your beliefs, I have empathy for people. I can't have empathy for ideas. You know, I can have. You know, lines must be drawn, and racist attacks is one of those lines that I draw. I also, you know, there's so much tied up in all of this, Ken, with debates about free speech and censorship and all of these ideas. And I believe in freedom of speech as a concept. I do not believe in freedom of consequences. So as we've said before, when we've had big political conversations, if what we're saying is upsetting to you, you have every right to react that way, and you can, you know, unfollow me on social media. If you can't listen to 4Center anymore, if you can't support us, that is, of course, your right. I take responsibility for what I say. And if the consequence of that is that some people who are upset by what we're saying walk away, I understand. What is not going to happen is no amount of tweeting at me or sending me more disinformation from alt-right websites is going to change my position. But you have every right to walk away from this if that's what you need to do in response.
Yeah, yeah. Well, probably better said than what I said. no, because I've just grown. The age of misinformation just upsets me a lot, and I've been trying to find the right way to say it, but also not get too far from the issue here and the issue of free speech and everything. Something I dealt with for 17 years. I've talked about it before. I am it's been 5 years, but I am an unofficial expert in the Pruneyard decision, which is a Supreme Court ruling in the 70s that did protect free speech, but allowed for companies to provide the time, place, and manner, dictate the time, place, and manner for the express activity. It's something I dealt with for 17 years, almost daily. You and I have been talking off air about Section 230, which is a 1996 Telecommunications Act that probably needs to be revisited there, but I believe strongly that we are at a point where you come on my property, that's an agreement. You follow my code of conduct. I'll try to keep you safe. Someone yells at you because you have a Rise of Skywalker shirt on. We'll try to stop that, but you know, it's part of being on this, you know, private property open to the public. Someone punches you in the face and shatters your jaw, I'm liable. And that's where I feel we're at for a lot of this.
And you're looking at for anybody who's newer who maybe doesn't know, you ran security
for a lot
of different places, in particular malls. And the way I hear it, you're equating some of your experience of you were literally in charge of what is the line too far in a public sphere of a mall, and relating that to the lives we lead on the internet.
Yeah, I I've always danced around it there, and sometimes that industry gets understandably poked fun at. Kevin James movies are really hilarious, aren't they?
I'm so sorry. I just never thought of. Never realized that people would make that connection, but of course they would.
Every day I got made fun of by, you know, everyone, soccer moms to kids. Everyone.
I'm so sorry.
No. Because I was the director of public safety, was in charge of the safety of 20,000 people on average daily.
Yeah.
I was at this place called the Grove in Hollywood and Farmers Market, which is a documented historical landmark, which means we worked with the FBI constantly because we are on target lists. I've worked at a high level and stuff. And that's why we bring up the Communications Act, the Section 230, because it's a little bit of a, you know, liability kind of like, hey, you know, is Twitter a publisher or is it just a distributor? And Joseph, you and I know that probably, you know, it's being looked at by quote both sides of the parties, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think what's happening now is, sometimes when people are just plain old promoting lies on Twitter, they, you know, places like Twitter are banning them. And then somebody else will go, First Amendment. And if you can Google, the First Amendment is incredibly clear that it is Congress shall make no law respecting establishment. You know, this is about the government. The First Amendment is that the government won't limit your freedom of speech. So. Yeah. Then there are private companies like The Grove, right, that you worked at, or Twitter or Facebook or Twitch, who make their own choices. And I feel like the First Amendment conversation really bothers me because it is often being said by people who know it's not a First Amendment issue to be banned by social media, but they say it is to incite anger. So it's not that, and then people dunk on them on Twitter for being dumb. Like they know what the First Amendment is. They are choosing to incite anger. And I think the reason I say all that is I do think it's absolutely worthy to discuss exactly what kind of responsibility should social media platforms have for lies or hate speech. And that's where the Section 230 comes in. And, you know, I Googled it, and the first thing that came up was a great breakdown of what is it? When did it get established? What does it limit and why? What does historically, how has it been revised? What was it that Trump was trying to do with it? What is it that various Democratic senators have said? What did current Republican senators and Congress people said? I think Section 230 in liability on social media is a complex issue that is worthy of thought and discussion, free of the just, oh, you're censoring me, oh, it's cancel culture. Let's look at Section 230 and develop our own opinions as you are, based on your life experience.
Yeah. And the reason we bring it up, and people can poke fun at it all the time, but like I dealt with unions. I dealt with Lyndon LaRouche supporters. I've spent 3 hours with them in front of them trying to, and I have also been in debates with police captains who have been called to the scene because there was an impasse between two parties, and I have been the one who've been like, here's the Prunier decision. Here's in LA County. It's 41.24D is the municipal code on private property open to the public and all these things. And I've arrested hundreds of people on this kind of stuff. And including one famous case, we had to kick out Girl Scouts for selling cookies because if we didn't, and it made the news because if we didn't, then anyone else, the Nazi youth of America, could come back and sue us. So it's a complicated issue. And I am not for one who immediately goes, yep, they tweeted something I don't like, fire them. I am not in that camp, if anyone wants to be clear about that. It's complicated. And the reason we're getting, you know, I don't want to go too far off the path. And I warned Joseph, I go, pull me back if I get, I'm pissed off about some of the stuff. From the Christina Ariel stuff, it's like people are profiting off of this. Mm-hmm. People are making money off of this, hiding behind some of these sometimes convoluted rulings and hiding behind this First Amendment. You are not guaranteed that you can just come on. And again, the reason I say property, you cannot just come on, scream and shout and cause discord or harm and create a unpleasant experience at the base level. We as a company, I worked for two major companies at the same time, had the right to determine the time, place, and manner that you do that. And then if stuff happened, if you got hurt and you slipped and fell on a banana peel, you know, we could be liable for. And I think we're getting to the point where some of these companies, that term liable, we have to reevaluate. And I'm getting upset at people making money off the stuff you're describing that is specific crosshairs attacks on people making money, because my friends who don't know, who aren't on Twitter, which by the way is still an option in life, who aren't on there, who aren't raveling, barfing up their opinions, and everyone thinks their opinion is great. My friends are contributing to those sites making money because they don't know. And that's also a place to fight, but that's also, it gets me so upset, clearly. And you got to know where to focus that energy, I guess, is the next step, Joseph. And right now I don't know where to focus it because I'm.
Yeah. I think for me, I challenge myself to do this, and sometimes I catch myself and stop. And I think it is a good thing for all of us to do right now, because you know there are big political and cultural and legal questions to have about our communications on social media and the damage that hate speech and just lies and propaganda can do. But for myself, what I try to do is, whether it's an article about tax rates or Obi-Wan Kenobi, I try to open it, look at when it was written, look at what the sources are, look at who said it. Does the person who said it have a history of spreading misinformation or a specific agenda? And I take that into account before I react. And I do, for myself, I'm really affected by that is happening in ways that are incredibly dangerous to life and limb when it comes to denial of science facts about the virus or denial of reality about election results. And then it also just kind of casually happens with Star Wars rumors, where it's just, you know, one person somewhere claimed to have said it on a super, super dodgy website with a long history of sharing just totally dodgy or straight out misinformation. Right. And then I just see so many people just reacting to the headline. Mm-hmm. And I think it is just, for now, I think we are the best guardians individually against misinformation as some of these larger issues get handled. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's a rumor about Cassian Andor or a rumor about the coronavirus, mm-hmm. check your sources.
Check your sources and be wary of insiders. There's very few on the inside. But to not get too far, Christina Arial, we want to acknowledge where it came from, like Joseph did, with a very important information, very specific information. That's what we believe. We not just fully support her, but we support anything that's gone in the past, and unfortunately, anything that might come in the future. Our position on that won't change.
Exactly. And then, Ken, unless you have anything else to add, I want to review where people can find the good work that Christina Arial does.
Do it. Lay it down there.
Again, that High Republic show is going to debut on Wednesday. I know Ken and I and many of our listeners are excited about the High Republic and excited to celebrate it with this great new show. You can check Christina Arial's thread on August 22nd, 2020, that shares some of her work that she is proud of. And I'm sure other people can find many great things that she's done. She's done a lot, but again, it really enjoyed Googling Starting Role plus Christina Arial to just get a really straightforward account of her connection to pop culture and her life. It was just great stuff. It made me happy to watch it.
Hey, I like being happy when I watch things. That's a good thing. That's a good thing, but also life happens, and that's where we're at. So, Thanks, Joseph, for, no secret. I can get pretty emotional. I get in an anger. I can go to the dark side pretty fast. So Joseph is a great emotional anchor for me.
I try to be. I might sometimes add some weight to your anchor.
No. I just, that's what it is. The old job did a number on me. So from that, which we are happy to discuss and address here in 4 Center, we're also going to go into some Star Wars news. And here is the headline here. Kristen Baver, she is a longtime Lucas filmer. You see her on the Star Wars news show. She's been writing articles. Every time Joseph and I go back on the Clone Wars report and review an episode, you can go find some old episode guides that she just does such a great job. And I don't know her personally. I think, again, shared connections, but she just seems like such a well-respected and loved individual, and she is taking a big step forward with this awesome project called Skywalker, A Family at War. This is a book about the first family of Star Wars. She wrote it. Matt Ferguson did some art, and the book will examine the events that unfolded in the Skywalker saga on screen, as well as through books, comics, and other canonical storytelling to give a detailed account of the lives of key members of the family amid their travails and triumphs. Pre-order available now. Book out April 6th. All right. No secret, Joker. I've kind of wanted these kind of books. I'm not going to lie. I wish I had the skills. I'd love to write these type of books. I am so glad someone with more skills like Kristen Baver's got the lead on this. I'm excited for this one. So I ask you, sir, are you as excited as me? And what excites you about this?
Oh, yes, I'm very excited. And you have brought up books like this of wanting a little bit more of the in-world perspective, right? And it, that sounds like what this is going to be, like approaching it as a biography of this amazing family, and less like in episode, blah, blah, blah of Clone Wars, it was stated, but it's going to have all that information. So I love that in-world history perspective. I love what the description and what Kristen Baver is saying in the article about this, that it's looking at the personal journey that we really know well, because I think when we watch the movies, that's what we feel, right? We feel their relationships and their challenges and how they overcome their challenges. But then to also say, but let's pull back and really examine the larger effect on the galaxy, in the triumphs and travails. I really love that big picture perspective of what did actually change based on this decision of Anakin. How much difference the galaxy did, Leia really make? All that kind of stuff. And, I think it's good to note that this is going to trace Ben and Rey as well as the sort of third generation of the Skywalker family. So I love that. I love the, we get the personal, but we also get the sort of their impact as almost public figures in the galaxy. And then the other huge thing that I love about this, Ken, is I think when you lay it all down like this in a chronological order, I think just different details and connections are able to pop out to the reader. And I think it'll give people a different appreciation of some of the Star Wars poetry of what is the same, what is the difference between these different eras and these different characters and these different choices. It pops when, you don't go on a side mission in the movie, but you're just staying on this family.
Yeah. So, I want people listening to know in the notes, I handle most of the news notes. Now I did put a thing of, hey, or does this not excite you, Joseph? Because, one day Joseph might be like, yeah, not for me.
There's some things.
I still don't know if you're fully on board with my pod race management game, video game. I don't know. It excites me on just that surface level of just, it's more Star Wars. It's more analyzing and just getting in that world and treating it as real, which is this silly, stupid way I watch Star Wars. I said this before to other people, and it's not for everyone. I'm not saying everyone, but I think it's all real in my head sometimes. And so if a character does something, I go, oh, that's what the character did, versus, I don't know if I like that, everything. And not every decision, but sometimes I'm like, boo to you, sir, for doing that. It's just since I was a kid. And I love crawling into it, but also to what you're saying, look, I'm not saying these are lies based on previous conversations, but when I hear someone say, I just don't like episode 9, it doesn't connect to 8 or any of the Star Wars films, I say nay to that, sir or madam, nay, because it is the emotional canon. that is the connections that are there. And that's what we've been talking about and saying here on Force Center. And I think you're right. If people give this book a chance, maybe don't see some of the connections. Because it's pulling in from books and comics and who knows, pamphlets from Star Wars Celebration. I don't know. You pull it in, you put it down on a roadmap, and you go, yeah, see, this affected that, and that was there, and the thing in the comics, and again, it's not for casual general fans. I totally understand that it could be considered niche, and even some people in our Discord are like, all right, hey, I'll give it a chance. Not necessarily my thing, and I totally understand that. I totally get it. This is just my excitement, but I love that kind of stuff because I felt my fandom of Star Wars started to grow. And I always want to grow as a Star Wars fan. I never want to stop growing as a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
It started to change of just like, oh, that line was reminiscent of that. This is why I love the Clone Wars. I mean, you and I this week are reviewing the Zillow Beast arc, right?
Yeah.
I'm making notes last night. I was like, oh my God, this connects to Revenge of the Sith. This connects to Rise of Skywalker, not in facts, not in quote unquote lore, but in the themes and the emotional arcs and the emotional and the lessons. And that's what I hope this book does. Not to put too much pressure on Krista Baber in this book. I know she'll hit a home run here. Probably already has hit a home run. That's why my excitement is bubbling over. And I hope they do more of these.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting from that perspective of if you're a fan of history and almost a fan of the lore of like, you know, boy, what, how did, you know, Vader's, Anakin's fall affect the fates of this specific planet? And you can kind of get into that lore stuff, but it can actually really be that emotional canon as well. I've mentioned in the past that I worked on a Kenobi stage play that, you know, I had a ton of fun working on it. There's nothing to be done with it right now. It came up a kind of live on air because James Arnold Taylor, when we interviewed him, said, I'd like to do that. But I had such great fun because it is this kind of exploration when you connect all the dots and don't look at Star Wars just as chapters, just as which movie, you know, is my favorite, which movie has this scene, which is, you know, it's a fine way to look at it. This is a different way. When you don't look at it as chapters, but you look at it as a whole, all sorts of connections pop up that you didn't think about before.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm excited. April 6th, this book is out. We will definitely take a look at it. We'll definitely get it there and very happy for Krista Baber and looking forward to Matt Ferguson's art in this one as well. All right.
Yes.
Something we're also excited about as Star Wars fans, toys. two parts of this one. We got a new planet. Let me read this right. New planet themed line of Star Wars merch available on Amazon. Certainly shopping on Amazon, not for everyone. I totally understand that. So this is a collection, a little store, and they're going to release these, all kind of planet themes. Right now it's Hoth stuff. I love Hoth, which is weird because I love the cold and snow, but I don't think I'd live there. The Hank Green story where the guy just said, the rebellion, I'm going to move into the cave on Hoth. What do you think about this approach of I am mostly trying to switch to vegan now. What do you think about this planet themed merch? Do you have any favorites? And Joseph, what planets will you absolutely represent?
Oh yeah, no, I like this. I think this is, it doesn't seem like there's new merch. It seems like it is an effort to collect all of the existing merch under a theme, which I think is cool because it can be hard to, you know, if you go into an online store, just Google Star Wars, there's a lot of content for merch. So I really like this idea of gathering it by planet. I think the planets that I'm excited by are the ones that there's probably not as much for. Like, cause the first one that came to mind is Exegol. Like, but there's only so much merch content. I don't think there are a ton of Sith Eternal stickers right now. And there isn't, unfortunately, right now, a Pez dispenser of of Palpatine hanging from the claw arm, although I'd love it. For the ones that there is actually a possibility of having more content from, Naboo. Naboo's just, always, it's for a lot of fans, it's always the sincere answer to what planet would you vacation on. So I'd be happy to see Naboo. I don't know if Bespin / Cloud City is bending the planet theme too much since it is floating above a planet. But I always love Bespin stuff. And then the other one that I think has an actual shot at getting represented is Crait. And that is mostly because I want some crate salt shakers.
Have you ever said that before?
I don't think so. I'm sure somebody else has. Just because the merch they have, you know, when it comes to merch, my mind goes to action figures because that's my love. But then to look at this collection and see that a lot of it is, you know, pictures or stickers or, you know, or household, you know, kitchenware. It made me think like, ooh, what kitchenware would I want?
Yeah, God, man, I really love that. Now I absolutely, I don't think I'd be allowed to have it in the house, but be good. Yeah, no, you did great. First of all, you know, Visit Exegol is definitely something we need. I need that on a sweatpant. I definitely want some Brightree Village indoor stuff. Some stuff like I have like the Hoth City Wampas kind of sports parody T-shirts. I like some of that kind of stuff. I would love a Pisana Aki Aki Festival of the Ancestors shirt.
Yes.
Like, I was like a tour shirt or something. Like I was there, you know.
I want like an old school aerobics video of the Aki Aki dance.
Yeah. I'm mesmerized by that scene in the documentary where they're all teaching them how to dance. I love it. So yeah, some of that kind of stuff would be great. And I think it's fun. Yeah, you're right. A lot of it might be stuff we're familiar with, everybody grouping it. Hey, look, as you always point out, Disney, Lucasfilm, for profit companies.
yep.
And merch is part of what is part of the profit and part of what we love. And it's just fun. The thing about merch and like weird kind of subtle or, you know, little just different Star Wars merch when you wear it, like clothes stuff. I love, you know, I have someone sent me well, just the Imperial, the design that's on the walls in the Death Star, that white light shining through the dark walls. And I just have that on a T-shirt. And whoever gets it. I have them on shoes too. I ordered some of those, was a Pozu, not a sponsor, you know, whatever, but I ordered it from England. I ordered them. And so I wear those shoes and that shirt. And I'm just like, I'm the biggest nerd in the world, but about one out of every 10 of you know at the post office or whatever. And when you have that connection, it's great. In fact, I was at a bar one time. We were on one of those bar crawls with Darina Ariano over there at the World Girls. And someone, the bartender or something, said something. And I just kind of went, oh, yeah, yeah. And he walks away. And then Darina comes up and she goes, you feel real cool right now, don't you? Absolutely do. I absolutely do. So that's the kind of planet theme merch that I'd love.
Yeah, that's so great.
Part two of the toys thing, new Funkos featuring Mandalorian and the Rise of Skywalker favorites. You know, Joseph, just when I think I'm done with Funkos, just when I think I don't have room and it's time to walk away, something like this happens. A lot of things I love in this. Some highlights include Ben Solo with a hole in the shirt, Rey with a yellow saber, and of course, Babu Frick and some great Mandalorian stuff as well. What jumps out to you in this line, should you dare add it to your collection?
Yeah, the Funko Pops, I like them, but, you know, there is danger there for me of, like, they pile up so fast, so I need to be careful. But, like, the Funko Pops, because their model is make a lot of them, it is just the Funko Pops to me are, so they didn't make an action figure of this yet, and they might not for a long time. Will you break down and get the Funko? Yeah. And these are Rey with the yellow lightsaber and Ben Solo. A Ben Solo action figure, or figure with the Funko Pop, they're so incredibly important as images of these characters, as images of Star Wars. I'm gonna have to see if I can resist them and wait however many years I need to for the action figures.
Yeah, and the Ben one is the shrug. It's the oops, I got a lightsaber now, boys, and it's him kind of like and I just got. Bless it. I love that one.
Yeah. But the one thing that I have seen other fans point out right away that I reacted to as well is he still has a scar over his eye, which he shouldn't because it healed when Rey healed him. So I'm sure that they have heard that cry from many a Star Wars fan.
Yes. And the cries went up. I got this one. We're talking about Ben, what I'm calling Ben Redeemed or Rey with the yellow saber. Why is it important for us, specifically you and me, to see merch with Rey with that yellow saber or Ben Redeemed? Why do we like it?
Yeah, because I think as much as we talk about action figures and joke about action figures and acknowledge that they are a function of profit, and that is a part of the whole thing and always has been, I think when I get really down to it and really sincere about it, it is this very human idea that physically owning an object, which is a symbol of an idea, is a powerful way for us to truly wrap our minds around that idea and make it manifest. And by putting it on your shelf, saying, I embrace this idea. I want to be reminded of this idea. I want this idea in my day-to-day life. And, you know, these characters in these moments, these are some of the most important moments of who these characters are and who they become. So to see Ben Solo, he's walked away from Kylo Ren. He's got that blue saber of legacy because he earned it by making a better choice. That's so important for me to just kind of have an idea of. And with Rey, I have her with the blue lightsaber in the very, you know, the same outfit, you know, right here on my desk as we're recording. But that yellow blade, we've talked about so much. It's a symbol of she has learned from the past, but she is forging on in her own destiny with a saber made out of her staff, made out of her history. And it's this symbol of, what are the Jedi going to be next? Who is Rey going to choose to be as she grows? Such important parts of who these characters are, that if I'm going to collect anything, I want these characters in these moments.
Ooh, yeah, I teed it up and you hit that drive down the fairway, almost hole in one there, man. I mean, you're on the putting green right now. That was beautiful. Because yeah, other than me just going, looking at those figures and going, it me. I also love it represents the end of their journeys, which are so powerful to a lot of fans. You know, a lot of you might not want to buy these, totally get them. But I look at them and it is the end of the journey for these two characters. The way you describe it, of just Kylo the whole time, he wants that saber, it's his, and he gets it when he makes the right choice, and everything Rey learned and what it means for the future. Love it. And you know, if they do it as a two-pack too, it'll make it just easier on me, maybe save a couple bucks, but we'll see. Final one in here. You know, we got some Saint Valentine Day figures coming here, Joseph. So the question is, will you get a Hearts Chewbacca?
Well, Ken, you mentioned it before. I do just truly, legitimately like a lot of things in Star Wars. Every once in a while, there's something I don't need. And glowing pink eyes Chewbacca is perhaps the scariest Chewbacca I've ever heard. This is one of those things that is absolutely a matter of opinion. And if there's somebody out there who loves it, this one, I am so happy for you, and I delight in it, and I would love to hear about why you love it. But but glowing pink eyes Valentine's Chewie is not for me.
I love that people are always like, I wish you guys at Force Center would just be honest with some of the stuff you're negative about. Chewie with a heart? No, sir. No, sir. No, it's and there's some other ones, not just Chewbacca in the line. They're fine. It's kind of like the holiday-themed Stormtrooper figures. You know, not for me, not for Joseph, but they're definitely part of the fun. Look, if someone were to send me one with some chocolates, I'd be sweet on you. You know, be honest.
Yeah, I the while back they had a super scary at Target years back, a Valentine's heart-shaped box with just Darth Maul's just. angry face on it, and that one I liked because it was absurd.
Indeed. Final news story of the day here. This one kind of you know, a lot going on this week, but it was popped up on the radar as a little blip, and it kind of got my attention and a lot of people's attention. And so it turns out no K2SO in Andor, Cassian Andor season one at least. Now this is from Alan Tudyk in another interview, and again, one of the things where like, let's talk about this, but also, can we talk to you about Star Wars? It's the name of the game. We get it. Tudyk says he is not in season one, and that Tony Gilroy is telling a story that would involve maybe K2SO later on, should the show continue. Now, Tudyk was previously, I mean, not just like a rumored, like he came out on stage for Disney. So interesting that the story's kind of changed there. And it's also the first we've heard that, you know, well, I don't know, maybe the first we've heard in kind of a concrete way of just Andor could be more than one season, unlike Kenobi, which you know is an exclusive series. So general thoughts on this, Joseph, and also I want to know about this type of information. Is it too spoilery, or is it better just to kind of keep our expectations in check every now and then?
Yeah, I mean, in general, I'm happy to have less information, but I think something like this, where a lot of fans who totally love K2SO and were really excited for it and expecting it, in a way, I think it's probably better to know ahead of time than to watch the whole show and then go like the whole season and then go, hey, where the hell was K2SO? So I'm kind of okay with it. We're in just such a weird time of when things are officially announced and when actors say things. You know, we've talked about it. You know, the most we knew about Mandalorian season two is because Giancarlo Esposito said a lot, you know. So we're just in a weird time that we're going to have to navigate. But I, for what it actually means for the story, I'm really, really intrigued. I kind of think it, you know, this has been, this show was pitched by somebody, you know, and developed by somebody from Involved with the Americans, which is a show I really like. But then Tony Gilroy seems to have really, really taken over as the creative force. So there's some part of it that makes sense that the story shifts a little bit. And if it's something like the original plan was to have a part of this first season, Cassian, you know, meet K2SO, as is referenced in Rogue One, and somebody like Tony Gilroy came in and was like, yeah, I want to spend more time with the first part of this story, and then, you know, we can do that part later. That reads to me as kind of a natural creative shift. And if anything, it says to me that there is a feeling that there are more ideas to be spent more time on and more focused on, and not just rush to K2SO and meets Cassian.
Yeah, I'm there for that too. And especially, you know, whether it's Tudyk or not, I wouldn't expect Lucasfilm to tweet out or put out. By the way, the story's changed, no K2. I don't necessarily expect them to do that, but to have the information on this particular case, I'm like, because I love K2SO and I did want to see him. I do want to see him. And then, you know, they met in that one shot, and I got to imagine who had the tough task of going up to Tony Gilroy and saying there was a one-shot comic where they already met. I got to imagine he's like, I don't care about Star Wars, let alone your comic. I'm kidding. None of that is facts. So, taking the time, like I said, telling the story they need to tell. And Tudyk seems okay with that there, you know, and K2 fans, just a little bit of patience and you'll be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope it's more than one season. I'm really, really excited for Andor. I think, my projection is that people are going to be really excited about it when it comes out.
More than they expect. I think it'll be one of those like, oh, I get it. Okay, cool. So there you go. All right. Before we take a quick break, reset, get to your questions, we're going to do our Force Center Recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, today, what do we have?
We are recommending the High Republic book, A Test of Courage by Justina Ireland. I'm about halfway through this one and I am really enjoying it. And I know you are as well, Ken, right?
Yeah, I got to pick up the pace a little bit. I life got in the way from me. I just love it. And it's already, you know, for younger, it's hitting some big themes. So I love it there. So to download your free audiobook today, whether it be A Test of Courage or anything else that you choose, go to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. But pick up Test of Courage because we're going to be talking about it at some point very soon here on ForceCenter. Alrighty there. We got the news portion. Let's get to the cues after we take a quick break here on ForceCenter.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why UnitedHealthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, 4Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4Center. We are here on the main show, the Superstar Destroyer of our fleet. We still have a fleet, and we still have a Superstar Destroyer, and we're on it. Joseph, we got some great questions from some of our supporters and listeners today.
That is right. We always take two questions from Twitter and two questions from Patreon. We'll go to Twitter first. David DLC, which is a great handle, says, I recently watched The Last Jedi again, and it got me thinking after Rey saying that Luke cut himself off from the Force. Do you think it takes a lot of strength to cut yourself off from the Force? Are you using the Force to be cut from it? This is a great question. A lot of different ways to look at the Force. It gets different kinds of descriptions in different novels all across the eras, from legends to modern canon. But looking at it in Last Jedi and how it's handled, how it's discussed, what do you think, Ken? What does it feel like to you that Luke cut himself off from the Force?
I think empty, and I think a little bit of a low level stress, and that it's an active decision that he probably has to choose to do every day as a way. And I thought this is great, David, because I've thought about it, including it's somewhat similar. It's not the same thing, but in the Vader comic, the Jedi now that Vader takes his first lightsaber from,
yes,
who takes the Borash? Is it the Borash vow? Gosh, it's been a minute since I read him. And he's not exactly cut off, but he's not exactly active. And he's, you know, and so it's like, to me, there's a little bit of a weight to that decision. And to me, there should be for Luke at this point, at least in the way he does it. Like, if a Jedi wants to retire, I don't know if that's ever been dealt with. I'm just like, I had a good run. I'm out. I'm going to go open a diner. I'm not connected to the Force. I'm not going to hope it weighs on him. But with Luke, I kind of like that it weighs on him, that it would kind of mess with him a bit. And that's why the force still exists. That's why, you know, comes to him in a dream in that prologue in the novelization. So anyways, it's kind of my weird answer. It's just, yes, I think it does. I think you wake up every day and think, I have to continue to cut myself off.
Yeah. I think it is an active choice, like switching off a faucet. I don't think it is, I think it maybe probably requires like a little bit of discipline or knowledge, but I don't think Luke is sweating to do it. I think there's so much to me in my headcanon of stitching together all of the different ideas about the Force. There's so much language of the Force that is about reaching out and opening yourself and letting it in. And then, you know, that idea that everything is connected, so you need to both open yourself and reach out at the same time. There's a lot of imagery that is about, you know, reaching out and opening up, which are things that if we kind of make the Force, you know, relate back to us in an analogy form, I think we all know emotionally, you can make a choice to not reach out and cut yourself off. Yeah. And that's, I think, what Luke is doing. To me, it's not like some master Force ability to hide. Like, you know, maybe there's something like that going on with Palpatine. But with Luke, I feel like it's just, I am choosing not to engage. And maybe there's a little level of mastery. Like, I think, you know, infants who don't really realize they're reaching into the Force, like maybe they wouldn't be able to do like, yes, I'm going to shut off myself off from the Force. But I think that's what's going on with Luke, is it's just kind of refusing to engage. He's gone to the island to physically distance himself. But, you know, I keep thinking of it in real world analogy, Ken. I think it's like if, you know, we as people do need to reach out to connect and offer something of ourselves as well. So it'd be like if I just kind of scrub myself from, if I just stayed in my apartment, no Twitter, no podcasts, took down my website, like I still exist, but I am utterly disconnected from the larger whole, you know?
Mm. That's nice. I mean, yeah, no.
I make it sound like a vacation.
No, that's a great question. I've actively thought about that. I've actively thought about Luke's active choice to cut himself off in the Force.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I really love about it is just the way it feels in The Last Jedi is it feels like not this big Force power, like, you know, Force hide so other people can't sense him. It just feels like if he was tapped into the Force, he would feel Leia, right? He would feel the dark side growing because of the activity of the First Order, and he just doesn't wanna. Yeah, it's a real don't wanna. Great question, David. We're going to move on then to our next question from Ethan Truman. Ethan says, watching Revenge of the Sith, and I had forgotten that in Padme's last moments, she tells Obi-Wan that there is still good in Anakin. Could this memory be stirring in Kenobi's head and be the reason he potentially tries to bring Anakin back in the new Kenobi series? Great question, and I think a great thought. Where do you go with that, Ken?
I go to first is, you know, Padme has generally been right the whole time, right?
when you really track just like her philosophical statements and like just her literal, like, no, I think it's Count Dooku who's behind this. And everybody's like, what? Like, she's usually right.
Yeah, no, I did. Joseph, I know you were really behind the idea that Padme is kind of this moral compass. And I was on Mark Riley's show last week. He's got his Star Wars show over in the GPA, and I was hanging out with him a bit. And someone in the chat asked, like, is there a character that you feel, Star Wars character, that's kind of always been on maybe the straight and narrow? I forget how it was asked. And I offered Padme and echoed and made sure to quote what you have said about this moral compass with Padme that does tie into Leia. And Leia kind of carries that on in a way. And I got to imagine that that Obi-Wan, looking back and thinking about Anakin, would carry that forward. I think Obi-Wan's got his own thoughts, and a lot of it's about his own failures and everything, but it almost as if that's a little mantra in his head as he deals with the tragedy of Padme and you know, her death. We're not, you know, we understand that. You know, I wish there was a little bit more to it in the story. And I still want E.K. Johnston to write that book and give us a perspective on it. But I think, Ethan, you're generally, I think I agree with you wholeheartedly that Padme's words carry that kind of weight, especially if you're looking back.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. And this has been a growing hope of mine. I really like that Ethan asked this question. I did an episode of our friend Octo Radio, our podcast hosted by Alden Diaz, in discussing Kenobi, and this was one of the things that we chatted about, that I really hope that it is a part of what motivates Kenobi, because it is, I think, an underexamined moment. I think a lot of times when fans watch it, we do get caught up in the reanalyzing of how exactly those moments are handled. And do we believe the medical analysis droid? What's really happening? And I think you can lose the power and the significance that those were her final words that she said directly to Obi-Wan. You know, it's not like he was just in the room directly to Obi-Wan while he held her child.
Right.
So that's got to have a weight on Obi-Wan. And if the show is, you know, what many of us are guessing or hoping, obviously Kathleen Kennedy said rematch of the century, that it is Kenobi going, what if Anakin could be turned back? That it seems like very, very makes a lot of sense in the emotional canon that this is a moment he would remember. And then kind of stepping back from the in-story logic, I think that I feel more and more strongly that Padme is underrepresented in her level of importance to the Skywalker saga. And I think this would be a great opportunity to center her. And Obi-Wan certainly had his relationship with her too. And it's understandable that sometimes we're focusing on the Obi-Wan is there on Tatooine looking over Vader's son, Anakin's son, because of the original trilogy and because of the weight of that and because of the passing on in the Force. But Obi-Wan is a person, if you get inside his head, he's watching over Padme's son too. And that's got a weigh on his mind. And I think it's just a great opportunity to center Padme's legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. And you know, you can't go back and add too much into the original trilogy. George, obviously, know the realities of George. Just didn't know he was going to make 1, 2, and 3 later on. Didn't know he had a chance. But I love it when some of this ancillary content kind of helps pull in Padme's legacy. And you're right, it needs to be done more. And I hope we get more E.K. Johnston books. I want her writing Padme all day, every day, unless she wants to write something else too. But and more of those kind of things. And you know, I'm going back to the news, Kristen Bevers' book. I trust she'll get some Padme in there. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely trust that. So great question, Ethan.
Absolutely. So we'll move on to our questions from Patreon. Our patron Brian Jensen writes, in Moff Gideon's desperation, by the way, spoilers for Mandalorian season 2. In Moff Gideon's desperation, his first instinct was to kill Bo-Katan and then Grogu, and his visible fear when Bo-Katan says, a Jedi, it seems there is something bigger than him that he is trying to protect. Given that Kathleen Kennedy said The Mandalorian, Ahsoka, and Rangers of the New Republic would culminate in a climactic story event, do you think there is a big bad the characters in these shows are working towards? Maybe Grand Admiral Thrawn, Grand Admiral Rae Sloane, or someone else? Ken, where do you go with that? How do you, what kind of predictions do you get based on Moff Gideon's fear and willingness to die?
Yeah, that's is it definitely Snoke-a-teen? Is he around there? Could be. Look, yeah.
What does Snoke-a-teen sound like? An old like chewing tobacco to me. I don't know, but that's a great turn of phrase.
You want some Snoke-a-teen? Well, it's 2 weeks. Well, by God, we're 2 weeks from everywhere, aren't we? Sorry, I'll start. Well, stop quoting our brother. We're out there retextualizing the quote. Yeah, you know, look, here's the thing. You know, I guess this culminated in a climactic story event. I sure hope they have that planned, right? I hope it's someone else. I mean, I love Rae Sloane. I don't see Rae Sloane ruling by that kind of fear. She should garner that kind of respect. She should be, you know, the type of imperial leader that you'd want to, you know, chew a cyanide capsule to not face. But I just don't see that from the Rae Sloane that I've studied and love. As far as Grand Admiral Thrawn, it seems so out there. It seems so different. And I don't personally, this is a personal decision, don't want him to be tied into that. I want to be something else. So I'm open for someone bigger, something new. Or not as simple as Palpatine. I think he's still working out what it's like to be a soul in another body. But I'd be open to something above, much like I'm thinking of Voss, Dryden Voss, Kira, all answering them all. And that fear, that low level fear of it's something that you don't fully understand.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, I said this, I think, on our Mandalorian reviews, I had kind of a hope thought that, you know, maybe it really is that Moff Gideon is working for himself and he's trying to give those force powers to himself. But then, you know, after seeing the tank of what could be Proto Snoke, many people are interpreting it that way. But in particular, to Brian's great question here, of that, yeah, no, his behavior in that final episode was somebody who is serving someone else, somebody with a big ego and a desire for power himself, but somebody who is willing to die for his cause. So that did make me recontextualize for myself who I think Moff Gideon is, as Brian's question illustrates really well. Here's my prediction. I think, yes, absolutely, he is serving someone else. And I think someone else right now in my mind is a first order stew. I think if he is making proto Snoke tanks, if Ezra and Thrawn did get taken by the Purgles to the unknown regions, I feel like where this storytelling could go is what is going on with the sort of transformation in the unknown regions of Imperial remnants into the First Order / Final Order. So that means to me that I hope we get storytelling where everybody's on the table, where you're dealing with Thrawn. You can absolutely get to see Rey Sloane with her very different perspective on the Empire, what the Empire could have been or should be next. You can see them being attacked by all of the strange, chaotic forces in the unknown regions. I think there's also room to introduce new characters that we don't know about yet who are high up in the Empire / you know, young First Order. I also think there's room, exciting room, from Rise of Skywalker to introduce some Sith Eternal cultists, you know, who are maybe involved with the First Order, but their agenda really is the long-term game of Palpatine himself. So I don't have a prediction about the specific baddie, but I think it really is to me all about these stories telling these shows coming together to tell us a little bit more about the origins of the First Order.
Or look, the honest answer, Joseph, is Captain Moden Kennedy. It's just
there's going to be another spin-off called Kennedy and Brendel Hux.
Yes.
Kennedy and Hux.
Kennedy and Hux coming to USA. Characters welcome. I love it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of exciting possibilities there. Any other thoughts before we move on to our final question?
No, love it. Other than love it, Brian. Great question.
Yeah, great question. This final question comes from Calum Stone Street. And Calum asks or says, my question is something that I've been thinking about for a little while, which earthly alcoholic beverages would Star Wars characters drink? I see Tarkin with a bottle of red with dinner. Maybe Kit Fisto with a pina colada. Would be interested to hear your guys' thoughts. Oof. This is a great one and a hard to contain all of the thoughts. Ken, where do you go first with this?
Yeah, hard to go. I had a list growing and it only ended because it was time to record. So I'll just list. You want to just go get my list and you do yours, or you want to alternate? What do you want? It's like a Star
Wars. Yeah, no, you do your list and then I'll do mine.
That's just an unofficial Star Wars ranked episode. I've got Count Dooku drinking hot toddies. All right.
Ooh.
I got Han Solo, Coors Light tall boys. He's just Chewie's double fisting him. Infa's Nest, whatever is on tap. She's just, what do you got? What's on tap? Yoda, I don't know if I'm right about this one, but I thought Yoda would be like a top shelf whiskey, two rocks, please. Like he'd be specific to it. I don't know. I don't know if I got that one right though. Mace Windu doesn't partake. It dulls the senses. C-3PO is going to order whatever complicated drink of the moment is that ticks off bartenders. You know,
that's a great one. That is perfect. He runs down the list of obscure liqueurs that are needed to make these complex drinks.
Yeah. And final one for me, Princess Leia, whatever the hell she's in the mood for.
These are all really great. I see where you're going with a nice scotch single malt with Yoda. When I was in Edinburgh once, I had some Scotch tea, which was like some nice Scottish tea, very earthy, with just some whiskey in it. And that maybe seemed like Yoda to me.
Yeah.
Here's my list. Some of them are similar. Some of them are different. I think Han likes just absolute bargain basement whiskey. I think Han thinks that like Jameson is the highest you can go on whiskey. And that is not an insult. I love Jameson. I enjoy it very much. But it is. It's a your great straightforward mix in whiskey, but it still tastes good when you sip it by itself. But I think he likes stuff that's like comes in plastic. You know, Han's like, what? It does the job. And I think Leia is knowledgeable about single malt, you know, and the different regions that it comes from. And I think early on in their married life, Leia's like, that stuff you're drinking that in the plastic 2-liter bottle, Han, that's not scotch. Let's have, something really nice. And I'll show you what real scotch is. I think Obi-Wan will drink, what he needs to as he goes through his different ups and downs in life. But I think at his prime, I think he had a cocktail called an Aviation, which is just, it's a very, kind of refined and fun and curious martini is the way that I would say it. It's the specific liqueur, cream de violet, gives it a little violet color. And I think he would really like being able to have a discussion with Dexter Jetster over a few Aviations. I went a little different place with Dooku. This is the darkest one that I had. It's what came to mind. I think Dooku likes red wine, much like Tarkin, but I think Dooku likes red wine where he can taste where the people who are making the wine weren't happy, that he can like sense it in the Force. That this wine came from somebody who didn't want to be making the wine. It's really dark. It's really awful, but that's where my mind went. And my final one is I think that Poe Dameron loves craft beer. I think he loves IPAs. And I think he likes the kind of IPA that's so sharp, it cuts the top of your mouth. I think that's what makes him feel alive.
Yes, I was looking for a Poe one, and I couldn't figure it out, and you nailed it. Nailed it.
This could be an entire 90-minute episode of Force Center. That is such a fun question. So thank you, Calum. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Ethan. And thank you, David, for the great questions. We've got a bunch more that have been coming in, so I'm looking forward to tackling them all in the weeks to come.
Absolutely. Thanks all of you for listening and supporting us. And if you got a great question that you want asked on the show, there's some ways to do it. You can reach out on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Pinned to the top of the Twitter feed is a call for questions. You can also go to Instagram to follow us. We're on YouTube and Facebook pages, Force Center Podcast as well. But best questions outside of Patreon is to go to that Twitter, pinned Twitter post on our Twitter feed at Force Center Pod. Podcasts available on a lot of different spots. Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. New patrons always make new plans. And as you can hear, we take questions directly from there as well. We got our own things we've been working on. For me, you can go to at Ken Knapsack or KenKnapsack.com or visit the GPA.fun to catch up on the things we're doing over there. I also had the chance to be on Star Wars Explains channel. Alex invited me on his Calm Chatter show, available right now. You can go there. And it was great. We just sat down and talked. We recorded it like a couple weeks prior, so I was wondering when it was going to come up. But I just sat on my couch playing Squadrons with him, which is dangerous because you just get into a casual conversation. Next thing you know, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just flying a Y-Wing talking about Star Wars. So we'll see how that goes. And always we like to highlight some charities. I've been working with an organization called St. Baldrick's. You can find more information at stbaldricks.org as they try to conquer childhood cancers and more on that in March for a big special event coming here as well. So that's my stuff. Joseph, where can they follow you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for all my other stuff, my podcast Obsessed that I do with my wife, Sarah Scrimshaw, and you can also find comedy albums and stuff like that, and links to online shows. I'm doing a comedy variety show with my friends, The Double Clicks, with a bunch of great guests. That's going to be on Valentine's Day, so yeah, pick up your Chewy with Glowing Pink Eyes Funko Pop and watch our online Valentine's Day show. Again, tickets for that are right on the front page of josephsgrimshot.com. And the thing I've been highlighting for the last couple of weeks that I'll highlight again, we are in a time where, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty and there are a lot of strong opinions. And if you're in America in particular, there is a great service called ResistBot. You can just Google it and you can send a message to your reps in a very fast, quick, easy, convenient way. It's something that I use when something is happening in our government that I feel strongly about and I want my reps to truly represent me. I let them know how I feel with ResistBot, and I think that is a great productive way to let your voice be heard.
It is indeed, and we thank all of you for letting our voices be heard, I guess, if you want to say, on some tough issues. And Star Wars, I'm sure there'll be more, and I'm sure we will address them as need be when they come up. And also, we'll celebrate Star Wars and talk about Dooku with hot toddies and wines and whiskeys. It's all part of it. It's all part of being a Star Wars fan these days. We're happy to be here with all of you. Thank you for listening. This was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.